If you want to, if you've got your Bibles with you, would you turn to 1 Peter 1? And we're starting at verse 3. So that's 1 Peter 1, verse 3. A heavenly inheritance. I'll just read the scripture as we go through. So, verse 3, 4, and 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. And we look to Jesus as our Lord, the one who we trust and the one who died for us. Not just died for us, but died in our place. The one who we owe everything to. But here Peter is saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ. We know that God is the one who sent Jesus to live on this earth and live amongst us. But you know, some people out there, including Christians, seem to stop at just Jesus. But there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There's three in the Godhead. And let us not forget that. So the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has shown us abundant mercy. Not just mercy, but abundant mercy. And here is the Almighty God, the God of creation, showing abundant mercy to you and me. Why is the living God interested in us? Why does he want to give us a gift so awesome that we struggle to see how special it is? So through his abundant mercy, he has begotten us again. In effect, we are born again of the Spirit to enjoy a living hope. And how do we get this gift, this hope, this awesome gift from God? It is through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. So by Jesus dying on the cross in our place, we have a hope. Not only dying, it's dying and resurrecting from the dead. It's why we have a living hope, not just, oh, I hope I'm good enough to get into heaven, or I hope I've done enough to get into heaven. But a true and secure hope that we will get into heaven. We all have an inheritance. Not like the inheritance we get on earth that eventually disappears when we pass on from this earthly realm. But an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. One that does not fade away. One that is reserved in heaven for you and you. In fact, for all of you. And after all, we are called in Matthew 6, 19 and 20. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So this living hope based on the resurrection of Jesus from the dead is kept in heaven by the power of God. No one or not one thing can touch it. It's not a garment that you put away and then many years later you find it and think, oh, I'll wear that. And then when you hold it up, suddenly you have a holy garment, and not in a good way. It's not like when you put a tool away and many years you find it covered in rust and it's useless. When you store your treasures in heaven, you can leave them forever and they will never change. So say, for instance, you become a Christian at 20. That living hope is stored by God. And when you die, at say 100, that hope will not have been corrupted in any way. It will be just the same. So in the last times when you come before the judgment seat, it will still be bright and shiny as the day it first appeared. And that applies to all your treasures stored in heaven. And how do we get these treasures? By being obedient to God, to God's will in your life. You don't have to be perfect. Just try your best and follow his word. In 6 and 7, it says this is, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while. If need be, you have been grieved by various trials, at the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now everyone should rejoice in that hope, but unfortunately we have to live here on earth for a short while. And during this time we are tested and face trials. Life is no bed of roses for a Christian. But you think, why can't we just go straight to heaven? But the answer is because our faith is to be refined and shown to be genuine. Your faith is the most precious thing you will ever own. Gold is nothing next to it. Diamonds are but glass. But a genuine faith may be found to praise, honour and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are all on a journey where we are refined as we walk along. So don't despise the trials of life. Look upon them as they are refining you. Every time you are tested by fire, you come out the other side closer to the Almighty God. Now on the surface, I'm not doing a good job at selling this faith of ours, am I, to the people out there. But when you think about it, we are about eternity, not just next week or month or even years. By not accepting Jesus as your saviour, you are missing out on so much. Your future depends on it. Verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of the soul, of your souls. There we have it. By believing in someone you can't see in the flesh now, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Why? Because in the end, we get our reward. The salvation of our souls. And wow, that is some promise. That the God of creation is offering us all this. The God of creation wants us to live with him forever. Don't know about you, but that is something I definitely want. So how about you? Remember, when life gives you 100 reasons to break down and cry, show life 1,000,000 reasons to smile and laugh. And they all revolve around Jesus. 10:11-12. Of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Searching what? Or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Things which angels desire to look into. Why do you think so much of the New Testament is found in the Old Testament? It's because the message they were preaching was not something newfound thing that has been just made up. The message they were all bringing were based on the teachings of the Old Testament. The prophets of old inquired into this salvation that is being offered to you. The prophets who were people who God spoke through and prophesied about these things long before it happened. They wanted to know about it because it was being offered to people in the future. Understanding this makes us see that this was God's plan all along and not something that he had just brought in because he thought it was a good idea. We must remember that the people this letter were aimed at were being afflicted. So this message was aimed at encouraging them, knowing that it was all part of the big plan God is working on. Just for a moment, put yourself in the position of the prophets. God is showing you what he is going to do in the future. You can see Jesus' suffering and you can see his glories. You know that the Son of God is coming to earth and die for mankind. You can see God's salvation plan. You can see the outpouring of grace. But all this is not for you now, but for the future generations to come. But now imagine that you have being shown part of the picture. That would really pique your interest. I can imagine a bit of frustration sometimes knowing of the great things to come. But now, think how blessed you are. Because we are living in a time that sees the results of the outpouring of God's grace. I know we don't know everything, but by studying God's word, we can know a lot. But these prophets of old knew it was hidden from them. And when we look at things like Ephesians 3, 4 to 6. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And again in 2 Timothy, 1:10. And which now has been manifest through the appearing of our Saviour, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the Gospels. These things now have been heard by you, by the preaching of the Gospel, the things the prophets have written about, so we can hear them now, here today, are the words that the prophets knew were for future generations. And on top of all that, this salvation is something that angels desire to look into. You look at that word, to look, it has a meaning that the angels bending down and looking with intense interest. They desire to look into God's unfolding eternal plan. It's not something God has stopped them from doing. He encourages them to look and see what is happening. But now think about that. Angels are watching us all the time to see what we are doing. Eek. Now I bet you're all thinking, I hope they weren't looking at such a thing at such and such a time. We all have that, where we, maybe things we've done that we're not proud of. But the angels can see God's wisdom being played out through his work in the church. In Luke 15:7, it says this: "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And Luke 15:10 says this: "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." So just to round it up, God has shown us his great mercy by giving us a living hope in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, this hope is not something new, but prophesied by the prophets of old and looked into by the angels. It shows how precious a gift is when everyone desires to look into it. But here we are living in the time spoken about by the prophets. We see that God had a plan and he's sticking to it. That should give us confidence to trust in God. And remember that we should store our treasures in heaven, where nothing can corrupt them or thieves take them. And our faith is the most precious thing you will ever own. And nothing else compares to it. Amen.